Good Wednesday night, everybody. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to turn to our Bibles in a few minutes here. Thank God for His Word. Well, everybody happy?
Yeah.
You doing good? Amen. How many of you brought your Bibles?
Amen.
Yeah, some of you brought your Bibles. You brought your phone at least. There's a Bible in it. Or you could get a Bible in it. Praise God. Well, there's hardly, where's all the folks tonight? Wednesday night. This is a good service, amen. People are away, I guess, just yet. But anyway, we're going to have a great time in the Word, praise God. The Word of God works on Wednesday nights and Sunday too. It works all the time. Does it work in your house?
Yes,
it does. It works in your house, I guess. Okay. If you go to Luke chapter 9, I'm going to take a few scriptures there and go along, follow with me, and wait for some of the adults that are coming back from the other room. They're putting the kids in there. You know, we need to. Summer's over. And there's a lot of folks that are still out of town, but some are still in town, but they're not coming. They're staying away in large numbers. So phone up your friend. I would say get your phone out, smartphone out. If you want to get me live on certain sections, you go right ahead. Use your phone. We need to advertise.
Yeah.
Tell them what's happening here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And tell people that there's a man. Somebody said you need at least four crazy friends. And, just like those four guys that took that one fellow on the roof and broke the roof and brought him before Jesus. You know, so you need at least four of them. How many of you have four crazy friends? Hey? How many of you got four crazy friends? Are you one of them yourself, right? And, we got to get back. Usually there's about 100 people or so every Wednesday night, but not tonight. There's at least 400 here. They're all on the internet right now. So so we're going to get those numbers back up Sundays. And so I'm advising you to bring your friends back and bring your grandma. And if you want to bring a dog even, praise God. And just... bring something with you. Bring a doll or something. Blow up doll, whatever. And then start bring whoever's in your house. If they're visiting, you say, we're going to church. You say, well, I'm not going. Well, I'm not your friend then. So, praise God. I'm thanking God for my salvation tonight. How many of you are happy you're saved? How many of you are happy you were baptized in the Holy Ghost? Amen. And you got healed. How many of you have been delivered?
Amen.
Well, a few of you need more, a little bit of deliverance tonight, praise God. Extra, you get a little extra tonight. Amen. So, I'm going to move here with the Holy Ghost, if you don't mind. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray one more time, because I think we pray together. The Bible said if two of you agree on earth, there's more than two people here. We don't want to just come and just hear a few words from a human being. We want the Spirit of God. We want to change our lives. We want to get out of here and say that we met God together. Okay? So just not Roma is here or Pastor Roma, but also you need to receive the gift. You know, the ministry gifts. And receive the ministry gift, but also understand there's a greater being here called the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
He's here. He lives inside of us. You're born again. He lives inside of you. And every once in a while, he come on you in a strong, strong way. And he'll open you to your eyes, and suddenly you'll be sitting there. You're going to know some things you didn't know before.
Right.
It's called, discerning a spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of the Spirit in operation. We need to pray and believe that among us in this service and other services like this, that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself.
Yes.
He wants to. He wants to show you things in your life that'll change your life forever. And he wants to show you things that you can avoid a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, a trial, unnecessary difficulties that you can avoid. But the Spirit of God wants to do that. He wants to show you some things, and he wants to give you an idea what to do. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power of God made manifest. We just pray that you would open up our eyes that we might see the things that you want us to see tonight. Lord God, we submit our hearts to you tonight. We get real before you today, Lord God. Without you, we can't do anything. We submit our hearts, our minds. We submit everything to you. Whatever is there, we leave nothing uncovered. So we say, Lord, we lay before you bare. We say, Jesus, you know everything about our lives. And we're asking you to fix any area of our lives need fixing tonight. And so we pray in the name of Jesus that if there are any devils that is harassing and hindering, that they'd stop their maneuvers tonight. They would desist and not be able to play a significant role in the lives, leading the lives of the people in the wrong direction. So we thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit and all the angels that are gathered around this service and around the people in their homes as they drive in their cars to go about the day in their work, that the Spirit of God would begin to minister to them as well. Lead everyone in the way they should go. Help everyone not to depend on their own understanding, what they see and know, but to depend on the Word and ask themselves when they come around a corner that they don't recognize or don't know what to do. They say, God, I'm depending on you. I don't know where to turn, what to do. And so, Father, I'm going to submit to you. I'm not depending on my mind or how I feel or the situation or circumstances that's trying to dictate the way I live. But I'm depending on the Word of God and the Spirit of God to lead me in the right direction so that I might be free from every thing that the devil wants to stop. So I give you praise in advance of what will happen here tonight. And we thank you that the devil is bound, so we bind him, that he has no part or play in this service. We thank you. We give the Holy Spirit preeminence that he might move and do what he wants to do. Cause the service to be a lovely service, a service that we don't want to leave there tonight. I pray that we're going to be better off as we leave here than we did coming in. We give you praise for every infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We pray that you send your Spirit upon us, that we might see signs, wonders, gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said to agree with that, amen and amen. Go ahead, be seated. Praise God. I want to take you to the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. We'll read there. Then we're going to read a number of other scriptures along with that. So our topic tonight is taking your authority, or the authority of the believer, if you want to say. There's a course that we teach in Bible school about the authority of the believer. I've taken that course many, many times already. I took that course when I first became a Christian, when I went to my own church's Bible school. There was a Rhema grad that came here from Illinois, and he was a graduate of Rhema Bible Training Center, and he trained me and my wife, and we became youth pastors shortly after. We were ushers. And we're working, we did prayer every morning, early morning, 6:30 in the morning, we go to prayer. And we did whatever we could. We were greeters at the door. And we did whatever we could do. We went to Bible school all day Saturday. Sunday morning service, about an hour and a half to 2 hour service every Sunday morning. And Sunday night, there was a 2 hour service we went to as well. And all day Saturday, my wife and I did that while I was in university in my fourth year studies, doing my honors bachelor of social work. And also did other things as well in the church as we worked night and day doing stuff, and the Lord began to train me to do the work of the Lord, the ministry. I didn't know I was going in ministry. I just felt a leading to do whatever God wanted me to do because I didn't, you know, wasn't doing good with my own life. And so the Lord led me into ministry, led me to become a pastor, which I did not want to do because I knew whatever happened to me thus far, I did not want to happen. And so being a pastor and leader is not always exciting, but I know that where God wants to lead me is the best place for me. Praise God. And there you have half of my testimony. Glory to God. That's a miracle service right there. Did you find Luke chapter 1, verse 1 and 2? One person, okay, I'll wait some more. Let me tell you some more stories. I cast out many devils and healed the sick. People who had diseases like cancer were able to heal the sick. People who had demonic problems who were in a mental ward, we began to cast them out too. And we threw a lot of people outside. I'm just kidding, though. We didn't throw anybody out. But we got rid of, the devils. So, how many people have found Luke chapter 1, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2? Well, six more people. We'll wait some more. I'll tell you some more stories. Glory to God. How many people are ready for the word?
Amen.
Okay, let's go here. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. If you didn't get it yet, I'm really sorry. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he, that's Jesus, called his 12 disciples. How many disciples did he have?
12.
You can count. Okay. He gave them, notice this, he gave them power and authority. Everybody say power. And authority. And he said, over all devils. How many devils?
All
devils. So he gave them power and authority over all devils. There's not one devil that those disciples, when Jesus picked the 12 disciples, there's not one devil, that slipped by that they didn't have authority over. He gave authority over all devils. Notice, he says to cure diseases. Not only to cast devils out, but also to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the Lord gave them the ability to preach, to minister, to cast devils out, and to heal the sick. That's the ministry right there. And notice something here that is very significant to us. There's a word power and authority. The word power and authority is not Jesus, having a hiccup or repeating his words. That power and authority is two different things in that verse of scripture. Power and authority are two different things. And so we need to understand the significance of that because, sometimes people don't realize what they have even though they're Christians. And so tonight our topic is, or our title is, Dealing with Evil Powers. That's our title, Dealing with Evil Powers. I propose to you this idea that church needs to position itself by taking their place to exercise power over all the evil spirits that might be present or attacking their life or family. One cannot exercise authority without having knowledge. You can only exercise so much grace in your life to the degree that you know what grace is available to you. You can only have so much peace in your life to the degree that you know what that is or what it extends to. And so many people suffer unnecessary disruption in their lives and not have any peace and can't go to sleep, can't eat, can't enjoy anything because they're not at peace. The peace of God is more than just having a nice fluffy feeling. The peace of God is more than that. The peace of God is when you don't have to smoke a cigarette. Or when you don't that forced to get into morality to fix your flesh to some kind of satisfaction. It has to do with a lot of stuff that people don't think about. So we need to understand, if Jesus gives us authority, we need to understand what he's talking about. So as an introduction, the people of God need to take their rightful place in exercising its power and place in this world. We're commanded to cast devils out and heal sick people. If Jesus, the head of the church, said to do it, then we need to do that. And why not? Why aren't we? Why aren't a lot of churches doing it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or any other night? And so we need to have the word of the Lord back in the churches to teach people they can do that, not just special evangelists that come whipping by your church every once in a while. God's given us all that same power. Yes, some people do that full time, but some of us, we need to recognize we need to do the same. So having to deal with devils has more than just having an altar service. I think the Holy Ghost is talking here. I didn't say these things myself. There's someone here with me speaking out of me, and he's called the Holy Spirit. How many people can sense that right now? There's authority there that wasn't there before I came in. Glory to God. So we have been given power. Jesus gave us this power, and he wants us to employ this power to set people free. Here's something here we need to understand. Lots of people don't know who they are. Who are you? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? Sometimes people don't know who they are. I think I'm going to take my jacket off. It's getting a little bit warm. I'm going to throw this around a little bit after. It's getting heavy with the anointing. Glory to God. I remember one time, you know, I was in the service over in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I didn't know who Benny Hinn was. I had no idea who he was. He threw his jacket over me. Something came on me over for 2 years. That anointing stayed on me for 2 years with a very tangible anointing. I walked in the church service Sunday morning and people began to fall over under the power of God. Just a few years before that, I was reading a book by Ever-Increasing Faith, Smith Wigglesworth book, and that same power came on me that time in 1980, 82, 81. And that power came on me just a short time, and suddenly I began to realize I could do anything that God wanted me to do. In just a moment of time, the power of God came upon me. The Bible says when the power of God comes upon you, you'll be changed and turned into another man. So at least for a brief moment, I was another man. And so, as that power came over me, I was inside of this presence and this power. Then everything became clear to me that I could do whatever God told me to do. I felt strong. I felt like I could do anything. There was nothing impossible for me to do. That stayed with me for a brief moment. I don't know how long, maybe 10 minutes. I don't know what it was. Seemed like very short, but it was long at the same time, and long enough for the Lord to teach me something. It came over me, then all of a sudden I realized I could do whatever God told me to do. I could do anything. How would you like that power to come upon you for a couple of days and say, I could do anything? I wish I'd come on one right now and ask everybody $100 so I could have some fried chicken after. Well, that power came on me, but it left me. And I didn't know how to make it come back to me until back in 1991 when I was in that Benny Hinn service. That same power came upon me, exact same power. I didn't realize there's an association between those two ministries, that they had an anointing, of course, the kind of anointing they had. I didn't realize it was the same thing. And there was a transfer of power from Wigglesworth's ministry to me. Then again, in 1991, the same anointing that was on that man came on me. That's not insignificant. It doesn't just happen to everybody. That's right. And so I didn't know how to make it come back. So I jumped up on the chair and I said, God, wait. And they left, never came back. And he never came back. 1991, 10 years later, same thing happened to me. But it stayed on me that time for not just a couple of minutes. It stayed on me for about two years. And about 2 years, I started feeling I didn't want that power on me. Sometimes you think you want something, but when you have it, you don't want it. Because it was a constant reminder that God was on me. I want to do other things. I felt like I had gloves on all the time, like I had oven gloves on or something. And I'd go to someone's house. They were sick, they'd get healed. I wouldn't pray for them. I wouldn't say nothing to them. How come that happened? How come we're talking about that tonight? I don't know. But I think we need to get back to some things. I need to get back to some things. And someone said when God begins to show you things from the beginning of your ministry, that's the very beginning of my ministry, I didn't know I had a ministry, it'll come back on you again. So I'm waiting. I'm getting myself prepared. The devil's trying to stop me. I want to let you all know he's trying his best to stop me, to discourage me every way he can to get to me. How many of y'all are going to pray for me?
Amen.
I don't need just a nod. I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, we need to have ministries that is doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not just Benny Hinn and a few other people. We need more people to participate in what God wants us to do. Over here, he gave those 12 power over all devils and to cure diseases. Notice in Matthew 9:27, we don't know the extent to what God wants to do in our lives. We live so much in the mental realm, we live so much in the natural realm that we forget about God, and we do a lot of thank God for business practices and thank God for a lot of things that we do. But here's Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." These guys are talking about Jesus. For the first time in their lives, they've seen someone operate in the supernatural right before their very eyes. This is power and authority. They're with Jesus. Jesus took them to the school for 3 years, his Bible school, taught them personally, and mentored each one of those guys. And when he began to exercise this authority that God had given him, and as he began to speak to the elements of this world, it began to obey him. They said, "What manner of man is this?" I think we need to recognize ourselves. What manner of man are we? Who did God made you to be? We need to know our purpose individually. We need to know that we're hooked up somewhere. We need to know who we're supposed to hook up with, because sometimes people plant themselves wherever they feel they want to be. Because it's convenient or inconvenient for them to travel across town or another town to find to where what God wants them to be. When you know the desperation cry of those people that are waiting for you, you'll begin to tell, you know, how many of you have ever been in a hard time where you needed help? Don't you thank God that those people there obeyed God and they were there to help you? You know, they paid a price, and we paid the price, and we paid a price. You know, I was thinking about, leaving my own, what I thought I could build my own kingdom, like my own life. I mean, I would have done really well as a man just living in the world with the kind of education I have. Do what I want to do. But then the Lord called me. He disturbed my life. And I was mad at the Lord. How many people do you ever get mad at the Lord for disturbing you and saying, "You got to do this and come and do that"? Some of you can't even go to a prayer meeting. He just only wants some. You know, somebody said, Pastor Ken says that God wants 10%. God, who belongs to the tithe? Who did it belong to? He said, people said, God. God, tithe belongs. Everything belongs to God. You read all the scriptures. That's not just one scripture. The Bible said everything belongs to God. He only asked you 10. And by faith, to give him back 10, he's going to show you how to live right. With just 90, do better with 90 than you would with 100% on your own. That's faith. Praise God. And God will teach you about money, the first thing about in your life, before anything else. So, and show, Matthew 9:51-56, it came to pass when there was time was come that he should be received up, and steadfastly he had set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went. He entered into the village of the Samaritans. Everybody say Samaritans. You know, the Samaritans and the Jewish people who live primarily in certain sections of that area, they didn't get along together, and they didn't have any kind of dealing with each other. Like, some people don't come to this church because I'm First Nation. I've remembered talking to people, you know, over the years. I've heard other relatives of mine that are, you know, of another persuasion, and they said, well, he has too many Indians over there. Well, I'm glad some of you all don't mind Indians, because we're one and the same in the Lord, praise God. Amen? There's going to be lots of them up there. Amen? And so, thank God. But, you know, every once in a while. So, these Samaritans didn't get along. They had some kind of cultural distinctions or differences between these folks. Didn't get along very well. So, to make ready for him, they did not receive him. Imagine those guys didn't receive Jesus. Imagine what he would have done there. Imagine if somebody would receive you tonight in their lives and what you know, what you can do for them. There's a guy tonight, I was at the gym, I did leg work tonight. I went and did lots of leg work. I did, you know, these, you know, all these, you know, whatever they do in legs and stuff. I actually did work hard. I worked hard tonight on legs. And I didn't have supper yet, by the way. And everybody said, oh. But I wanted to go because I've been away from the gym for a while. And so I went there, got on the rack, and started working out, you know, doing the leg work. And a guy came there. He was doing something. So I went and did my calves. And my calves were sore because of something else I was doing. I almost twisted my leg a couple of times. And so that was in a bush. I'm not used to the bush anymore. And so anyway, this guy, he says, I said, hey, how you doing? He says, how you doing? He says, I haven't seen you around, blah, blah, blah. He said, yeah, he said, I've been away, man, for a long time. He said, I had prostate cancer, and they messed me up, man, and I had these operations, and they cut everything out of me. So I touched him on his shoulder. I said, I'm going to pray for you and believe God for his healing. Yeah. I said, Jesus will heal you. Hallelujah. We got to get bold. That's in the push workout gym. And I'm sitting on the floor trying to finish my message over here. And another man comes up to me and says, hey, Roma, what are you doing down there? I said, I'm writing a message. You must wonder what I'm writing a message. Well, he knew because he said to me, I see you on TV. So they all know I'm on television, so I have to behave all the time. I can't look at girls or anything. I like looking at girls. You know, you ever see a nice girl go by? I told Pastor Ken, you only have 3 minutes to watch a girl. I said that 3 minutes by 3 seconds. And then it becomes sin. I guess I don't know who made that up, but some of y'all do the same thing. See a nice man go by and go. Yeah. But anyway, let's go back to the Samaritans. And his disciples, James and John, saw this. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we should command fire come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did, or Elijah? He turned and rebuked them. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. How many times God wants to do something for somebody, but they don't receive him because it's not the right time? You're not the right culture to receive. Come on now. You're not, you know, so and so, because you know when I became a minister earlier, people say, well, you know, you're too young. Because I was 30 years old when I started becoming full-time pastor, minister, and they said, you're just a young boy. Because I mean, my baby face and everything, they think, that guy's only 16 years old. One lady is 50 years old says to me, what can you teach me about marriage? Well, in my mind, I said, well, the Holy Ghost is older than 50 years old. He lives inside of me. And the Word of God is much, much older than you. How many people tell their dentist, how can you pull my teeth out? You're just so young. I know Jerry Goulet, he sits right here every Sunday, every Wednesday. He's not here tonight. I got to talk to that guy. He sits over here, he worked in detox many years. His son is a doctor, a physician. Over in the, I knew that kid when he was growing up in church, and he's a physician today. And then he says, one of these people asked, went into this merged place, and somebody said, his son went there. They said, no, I want somebody older. I don't want to talk to you. You don't know anything. So they sent out the other guy, and he was much younger than he was. But we can't, But anyway, Jesus is telling him, you don't know, you can't just come cursing down, these people. You don't know what kind of a spirit you are. So, James 1:24 says there's, sometimes people, Christians, are taught the word and they don't really think about the scriptures, and they, when they leave the church service or something, they never even take time to look at their notes or the scriptures that I was talking about, or even tell somebody. You know how many people know when you share about what you hear at church and you talked about, deliberately talk about it, that stays in you more stronger. Amen. And Bible says that James is the Lord's brother, and he says that a Christian who just reads the word, he doesn't apply himself, will forget completely about who he actually is and how to operate in the Word. James 1:24 says, behold, for he behold himself, like he's looking in the mirror, and he goes his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. So we need to understand, I'm going to press you a little bit more, because I think sometimes you forget who you are, what kind of authority you have. You say, well, I've heard this before. No, well, you need to start using it. Amen. In your office, wherever you are, and somebody has a headache, I'll pray for you. Because you're too embarrassed about your beliefs. I want to tell you why that is so significant. And because the scriptures tells us, because, the devil likes to intimidate you. There's Pharisees or Pharisical, Meekle of Beekles around. The spirit of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Somebody says, what is a Sadducee? Well, the Sadducees were sad. They didn't believe And demons or devils or resurrection or anything like that, they were sad. They were sad because there's no life after that. Somebody said they're sad, you see, because they're sad, you see. Okay, anyway, do you know who you are? And the Spirit of God wants you to know who you are, wants you to know your authority, your place in Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead to give you a new ground, a new foundation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, 23, Paul's prayer, Pauline prayer, or the prayers of Ephesus. Paul prays by the Holy Spirit. He's inspired to write this, to pray this to the Holy Spirit. And I've been praying these prayers for this church and for other people so that their eyes are going to be open. You know, one time when Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, he says, you know, they were talking, they're kind of arguing with Jesus. And Jesus was talking to them, you know, he said, Jesus told them they're dead. If you knew me, you would know my Father, but you'll remain in your sin and you're blind, whatever. You're going to die blind. He said, we're not blind. We're Abraham's descendants. So he's talking about a spiritual blindness. And there's a spirit that caused people not to see the truth. Even Christians.
That's right.
How many people is the truth that will set us free, right?
Yeah.
He says, verse 16, chapter 1, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. At least he tells them he's praying for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Notice this, in the knowledge of him. Everybody say, in the knowledge of him. God wants us to know, wants us to have that wisdom, to know, one translation says, in the knowledge of him, in knowledge of who we are in him. He says, over here, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. They're Christians, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people, and they're praying, getting prayed for about that God will open their eyes to see something further. That they may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the richness of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? How many people, you know, realize what belongs to them as an inheritance? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe and experiencing that power according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality. Notice this. God wants us to know that this power that he's given us, that we're far above heavenly places in Christ. All those principalities and powers that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he's talking about those powers that we've been raised up over in Christ. That you and me are raised up over these spiritual powers. Not one day, right now, when you're born again, the smallest little baby Christian has been raised up in heavenly places in Christ over all principalities and powers. Can you say amen? Come on.
Amen.
We've been raised up. And yet we're acting like nothing's happening. And we could be so intimidated in this world by the enemy. We can reach some more, you know. He put all things under his feet, he says in there, the last verses there. Gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. His body, the least member of the body, has been raised over every principality and power. What manner man are we? Well, we've been raised from the dead, spiritual death.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 6, 5 to 6 says that we've been raised up with him. We've been raised up to him. Verse 1, chapter 2 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. 5 and 6 says we've been raised in heavenly places, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are right now. Notice in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, The Lord appointed 70 others also. So not just 12 people Jesus gave this power, but he also got 70 more. You know, one time, there's another, in another scripture, not one of the 70, but someone else who heard about what Jesus was doing with those people and what those people were doing, those 70 people were doing, he started to do what they were doing. He heard about what they were doing, and so he took the framework of what Jesus told those 70, and this man that Jesus didn't personally tell him, he began to exercise authority over devils. But he wasn't one with the 12, nor was he with the 70. And he started to exercise, and they said, Jesus, tell us, that guy's doing the same thing we're doing here. Shall we stop? And Jesus said, don't let him, don't stop him. I remember I understood the principle. And I remember Benny Hinn, you know, I was in a service one time, and I remember years ago, I started going to a service, and I saw this man by the name of Bill Prankard, and I saw him ministering to the sick. And I saw the power of God. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just brand new in the Lord. I'm just looking at eyes buggy. And I said, oh, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. You know, my spirit was getting lit up and just getting encouraged and everything else. And I said, wow, this is this. And I bought all his stuff on his table. And I went to Kenora. And I began to devour everything on there. I put myself in Bible school. Sat down with that tape recorder. Listened to all his stuff on spiritual gifts and how the Lord brought the healing ministry to him through Catherine Kuhlman. Amen. And then when I went to, that Benny Hinn meeting, I saw the same thing. I'm sitting in that auditorium. There must have been, 2,000-3,000 people in that auditorium. And I'm saying, I want that. I can do that. I want that. And just before I went to that meeting, I was listening to a tape series, Brother Hagin called The Anointing. He said to us, he said, I'm going to show you how to get any kind of anointing provided you have the same anointing as those other people. So my ears opened up. I listened to that series going to Minneapolis. He said, I'm going to show you how to get any kind of anointing in your life from another ministry, provided you have the same anointing on your life, same calling. Because 1 Kings chapter 19, the man of God, Elisha, told him, go to another man called Elijah, go to a man called Elisha and anoint him to take your place. He threw his coat over him, and that same anointing came upon him, and he started doing the same thing as the other man did. And so when Elisha was took off by the whirlwind, and Elisha took the cloak that fell from the man of God, smote the waters like he saw his predecessor did as he hung around with him for a long time, and people said, ooh, the same spirit is upon Elisha, it's upon him. Then I saw the connection about the principle of association, influence, and environment. You hang around the same environment as somebody else, and you begin to be like those people. Sociologists tell us the same thing, and social sciences tell us that we become like our environment. If you go to a smoke-filled room, you start smelling like smoke as well. In fact, I want to tell you something. A child can get sick from a mother who smokes in their house and can get the same kind of diseases as a mother. Whatever's in that environment gets on you. So association, environment, influence, and I begin to see this trend, this principle, and I saw I could put myself to school. So I started devouring Brother Hagin stuff. I started reading. I said, I want to be a teacher. I want to be like that. I want to teach. And so for the last 30 years, 35 years, I've been, you guys bought me the whole faith library. I was just first year as a pastor. So I put myself to school. Every day I would sit down, listen to all the faith library, whatever I needed to learn. I sat down and went to school. So when I go to Brother Hagin's meetings, I thought, you know, I felt, man, I'm a Rhema student. But as you know, you become like whatever you listen to. And the disciples in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says they saw those disciples, Peter and John, they were full of boldness. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. They had the same authority, the same power. How many people know you could learn faith? You could learn the principles of faith, but also you can catch the spirit of faith. You can catch the spirit of faith. You know, you start acting like people, you start getting the same attitude. Strutting yourself around, you know, your little faith behind, you know. Because you're a faith guy now. Praise God. Let me just finish a couple. I'm going to just read a couple things that we'll end here. Because I didn't even get into my message as much as I should be here. Hallelujah. Chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself would come. Verse 9, he said to them, heal the sick that are in there and say to them, the kingdom of God is near you. Verse 17 to 20, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Do you see? We see two words, power and power again, but it's the same, it's a different Greek word. He said, I give you power. I give you authority. I give you exousia, right, and the right to exercise spiritual power or authority. You know, a police officer has power to stop you. Put up his hands. Stop. And you stop if you're a good citizen. If you're full of devils, you just go right through. And if you the officer says stop, you put up your hand and you stop. And you recognize the authority behind that officer. He has a badge and a little cap and a uniform. But if you saw a clown out there saying stop, you wouldn't stop. Or just anybody. So, but you recognize the authority. So the power, the authority, or, you know, the right of ability of that person, you know, you recognize there's power behind that. So the first word is exousia, which is authority. Then the second one is power, which is the ability. See, Satan has certain ability over you, only if you walk in darkness. Wherever you're sinning. See, you know, there's Christians, born-again Christians, spirit-filled, even pastors, even ministers or evangelists that have problems with addiction or something else. Why? Because they are operating in darkness. And we know that. Just watch television. Just you can check up on it. You see a lot of people have problems because, you know, any spirit-filled Christian can have demonic influences in their lives. Any one of them. You can. Right now, you can just yield if you want to. So we have the right not to. We have the power not to. So they return. He said, behold, I give you power or authority. Exousia. To tread on serpents and scorpions. That's demon powers. Demon, all kinds of demons. Evil powers. Over all the power of the enemy. So he gave over all the power or all ability. Whatever the enemy can do, he's given you power over that.
Hallelujah.
I like the Amplified version in that. He said, I give you mental strength and ability. If you're feeling weak in a mental area, God will give you strength in your mental health.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's given you peace. I remember I was attacked. You know, I cast some devils out before, and I can just sense those devils coming at me. And I didn't understand it back then, what I know now. But even when I didn't know, understand it, I was able to exercise authority over these demons, cast them out. In fact, I was in meetings, I told you before, where devils speak out of people. And we, you know, how did Jesus deal with them? He said, shut up! He did. Holy peace, and come out. That happened to me at a meeting. And at first it scared me. I had other experiences before that and other times since in different ways. And, you know, he'll come, you know, where if he's ever tried to intimidate you, he'll try to come back again. I don't care how far you've been in your Christian life. Wherever he's been, he'll try to come back again. You got to keep yourself strong. How many of you are strong in the Lord? I just sense the strength of God tonight. How about you? How many of you sense the strength of God in this room here? Hallelujah. Some people say, yeah, I do. Where's the washroom? Okay. Okay, so notice this. Over all the power of the enemy, notice this, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's given you that ability. He said, nothing's going to hurt you. So we don't be scared of evil powers and authority. I remember as a new Christian, you know, we read those scriptures, you know, oh, you wrestle against principalities and powers, then we get all spooked out. And I'll go home, oh, man, you know, where's the pastor? Let's call an elder right now. You know? You got power?
Amen.
We do. And I've had the evil spirits try to visit, and so I don't welcome them. They'll try. Intimidate you, make you fearful, get you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, tell you all kinds of junk. Tells you that Donald Trump is the devil. Tell you all kinds of stuff. If you believe him, you go crazy. Huh? He says, you know, all kinds of stuff. He tells you you're losing your life and stuff. He's going to kill you. We're not going home yet. Wait a minute. I've got a couple more things to read here. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. How many of you got your name written in heaven? Well, you know, those with authority can, their names written in heaven. You got that authority. Well, we have to come back to this another time because, you know, we need to learn about this. How many of you are going to come back again? Some people say, well, I've got time, I'll come back. Yeah. I'll see if I can do it. There's so much to talk about in this area. So we need to understand some things. So I want you to know, you know, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Acts 23:8 says, the Sadducees don't believe no resurrection. Don't believe in the resurrection, neither believe angels or spirits. So in this world, we have people like that who'll try to intimidate you who believe, who should be believing in casting out devils and healing the sick. You should be doing that, but they come up and intimidate you that who you think you are. Don't you know that all passed away? When the last apostle died, that's no more. We have doctors now and psychiatrists to help everybody. Well, thank God for that. You know, I welcome doctors. And, you know, if I'm sick and I need help, I'll take medicine. We don't go away from doctors. Thank God for doctors. And then whatever, we welcome doctors. Thank God. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you need more than a doctor. We've been to places where people are going to die. I mean, the other day I was in a hospital there, and there's some young man. I'm walking down there. You ever walk down there and people look at you? Huh? I'm walking down there, strutting myself, you know, and this guy looking at me, you know, and I didn't want to look at him again because I don't know if he wants to fight me or not. So I started walking. And I kept walking and hoping that he would just leave me alone. But I walk away, you know, way down there. Then he starts running after me. He says, Roma. Roma. I said, yeah, who are you? He says, I'm so-and-so. I was your student at the college. He says, you know, I'm in terrible straits here. I'm you know, I just came to the hospital. My mom's dying upstairs, ICU. And he said, I'm in the emerge myself, and the doctors give me something because I have I'm detoxing. I said, okay, me too. I like joking with people, but anyway, he's Ojibwe. But anyway, we talked a little bit, and you know, people want help. I said, okay, I'll pray with you. I'll pray with your mom for your mom. What is your mom? She said they're giving her a 15% chance to live. You know, so people want help. People want help. And so, what are you going to do next? What manner of man are you? Praise God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, thank you this evening for the word of faith. Thank you that we can stir up people's lives and know that the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You said we have authority and power over all these evil spirits. And we can exercise this authority if they come and attack our family or try to attack our family, our children, our ministry, our own lives. And so, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We come against the devil by faith, applying the blood of Jesus. You said we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you for the covering of the blood tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. So we pray for everyone here in this room, sitting here. We pray for every area of their lives. We're standing together in this. It's just not me praying, Lord. I know that. We're all agreeing right now. If there's anything, any attack in the area of their lives, spirit, soul, and body, we're asking for a mighty covering over them, and we take authority over the enemy. We command you to get the hands off the people. And so by faith, we all resist him. We do not allow him. We do not permit him to attack us. We belong to God. We are God's family. God purchased my body. He purchased our lives totally. He purchased our every part of our being, and it belongs to him. And so, Father, we worship. Let's stand up and begin to bless him in the name of Jesus. Thank him right now that you are delivered from the powers of the evil one. And that your family is delivered. Pray for them right now. Pray that they're delivered from every evil influence. Take authority over him right now in the name of Jesus. Take authority over the enemy. He's trying to steal your money, your business, your family, your marriage, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father, for the power of God that you've given to all of us here tonight. Thank you. Not just a few select people, but all your family, you've given us authority to exercise control, to exercise. What a privilege and honor it is to exercise this power. And we say our families are free from demonic influences. Our homes are free from evil spirits and fear and terror in the name of Jesus. We'll not go to bed fearful. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, that I can go to bed and just enjoy myself, praise God. That I can be in peace and sleep soundly in the name of Jesus. That we can eat our food and enjoy food. It's going to go down and stay down. We give you praise. Everybody close their eyes, bow their heads for a second. I'm going to ask you in the name of Jesus, if you're in this room right now, you need to come to God. Say, God, I want to come to you in the name of Jesus. You say, Lord, just come in my life right now. You come in your life. I'm rejecting that lifestyle, whatever it is. Coming to you, giving you my spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking authority. In my own life, first of all, God's given you authority over three areas. God has given you authority over three areas. First of all, he's given you authority over your own self, everything about you, your spirit, soul, body, all your money, all your whatever affects you and your circumstances. Don't accept negative circumstances as coming from God. God never sends evil to people. So resist every evil, every adverse circumstances that come against your body, your mind, your emotions, your family, everything about you. Resist it now in the name of Jesus. The first area God has given you authority over. He's also given you authority, not only over yourself, but over every circumstance. You take authority over every circumstance, every evil circumstance that the devil's created. You begin to resist it right now in the name of Jesus. Resist that work of God. Father, you said resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. I command you, get away from that situation right now. Get away from my home right now. Get away from my marriage. Get away from my financial situation right now in the name of Jesus. Get away from my workplace. Get away in the name of Jesus. Those people that you're using against me, I command you to stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, and the most important thing, he's given you authority over all devils. Three areas. Yourself. Circumstances. And all devils. Three areas he's given you authority over. He's asking you tonight to take authority over that. If you don't take authority over it, nobody is going to do it. If you don't pray and resist it, no evangelist, no pastor, nobody can do it except yourself. You need to begin to do it, exercise it right now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, you got to learn to do it yourself. Maybe somebody could do it one or two times for you, but you have to do it for yourself from now on in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? We get to praise him right now. Thank God. Hallelujah. We praise you for it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have authority over these areas. Thank you. Glory to God. I'll leave you with this thought. Leave you with the Son. Romans 5:17. The Word of God says, we rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. We rule and reign. The King, the Amplified says, we rule as kings in this life. You rule in your life. If you don't take authority in your life, the devil will come and take authority in your life. Amen. I rest my case, Your Honor. Let them all go free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody's free. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.